You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode was broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're more than happy to be joined by our extremely awesome special guest, the man himself, Kane Hodder. We talked to Kane about everything, the Friday the 13th video game, the documentary To Hell and Back, the Kane Hodder story, Death House, as well as Victor Crowley, the BTK killer, everything. It's so great. He's so awesome. I can't believe we got him on the show. Anyways, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. You could have been in the chat room talking to Kane. You missed it. Anyways, go check out the shows. Check out thedorkening.com for everything else on the Dorkening Podcast Network. And of course, enjoy the show. Okay, so tonight we're going to do a quick run through. We have Kevin.
What's up, everybody?
Wolfie.
Hello!
Tony. Or, sorry, Yo-Yo.
Hey, everybody.
There's Tony.
What is going on, people?
And the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Kane Hodder himself.
I don't know how I followed the howl and the Tony thing, man. That was so creative, Tony.
Yeah,
amazing. Worked on that all day, didn't you?
Actually, it's been like 3 years in the making.
Yeah. You can tell. The practice has paid off. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I try. You know, I was building up for it, and it finally came out. So hopefully it was good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So
apologize for my voice. I have a little laryngitis going on, but we'll get through this.
Thank you so much, sir. We have some sponsors for tonight, some awesome prizes, and here's a quick run through of what we're going to be doing. Just a couple minutes, we'll be right back. Okay, tonight we are talking with the man, the myth, the legend, Kane Hodder himself. It's going to be an awesome night. Along with Kane, some very cool people have sponsored some prizes for tonight. And we're going to be randomly giving away several prizes at the end of this evening. And in order for you to be eligible, you need to be in the continental U.S. and you need to interact with tonight's show. So we're going to be streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. So in the comments, just, you know, ask Kane a question, comment on the show, or you can share the videos, either share over on YouTube or share the Facebook video. Share it on Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, wherever you're going to share it. Just make sure you do hashtag Dorks Rule so that we can find it easier. And if you want to come back to the chat room, just say that you've shared it, just so we can add your name to the pot in order to be randomly selected. That's basically what you have to do. Really easy. And also make sure you tag. If you're going to be sharing, make sure you tag our awesome sponsors for tonight. So sponsors like Deadly Grounds Coffee, Death House Movie, 3D Mucky Chris. These prizes are awesome. So you don't want to see my ugly mug anymore. You want to know what these prizes are. So tonight, 3D Mucky Chris is giving away a 4-inch figure from www.muckychris.com. So basically, any of his 4-inch figures, we're going to be giving away one. Again, you have to be in the continental U.S. If you don't know who Mucky Chris is, he does 3D printed sci-fi and pop culture goodies. Again, you can find out more from his website at www.muckychris.com. Chris designs a lot of his own prints. He's a 3D modeler. He has like a MakerBot farm of like 20 plus MakerBot printers. And he's constantly making tons of stuff. Very awesome stuff. Items like Jason Voorhees, Groot, a Stormtrooper, Kevin's favorite, Frankenstein, my favorite, Yoda. Now, this is not the 4-inch figure. This is the biggest one that he makes. This here, awesome quality stuff. So, we're going to be giving away a 4-inch figure from MuckyChris.com. And you can follow him, or if you're going to be tagging tonight, 3D Mucky Chris. And that's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest. The next item we're going to be giving away is from Deadly Grounds. Oh, my God. I'm drinking Deadly Grounds right now. Absolutely love it. Chocolate's my favorite. But Deadly Grounds is giving away a gift box. Within the gift box, you get one 12-ounce bag of Winner's Choice of Deadly's Grounds coffee. So you get to choose what flavor you want. You get a Deadly Grounds cadaver t-shirt in the size of your choosing from small to 3XL. And a cadaver mug. Deadly Grounds, you know, it's good to get a little deadly. We absolutely love these guys. You can find out more at deadlygroundscoffee.com. You can follow them on facebook.com/deadlygrounds, Twitter at Deadly Grounds, and YouTube, Deadly Grounds Coffee. The next item we're going to be giving away, courtesy of the Death House social media team, we're giving away a cane ornament from Terror Threads. You know, if you saw the announcement, Terror Threads, they released a whole line of Death House merchandise. We're going to be playing the video a little later about it. But yeah, courtesy of the social media team from Death House, they're giving away a cane ornament, a Christmas tree ornament. And the last item, again, courtesy from Death House, Jason, awesome guy. We absolutely love Jason. But I have here a Death House poster signed by the man himself, Kane Hodder. So one random winner will win that prize as well. It's going to be randomly picking several people. So each person that we pick will get one prize. And yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. So make sure you interact with tonight's show. Make sure you follow all our sponsors for tonight. 3D Mucky Chris, muckychris.com, Deadly Grounds Coffee, and also Death House Movie. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'll catch you guys shortly. Enjoy the show. Okay, tonight we are talking with the man.
So
we are here. Sorry. so ton of stuff, and you're sick of hearing from me. So here's Kevin, and we'll go over to.
Sick of hearing from you. That's nice. You run the whole thing. So anyway, so we're more than happy to have Kane on the show. We're big fans of Kane. We were lucky enough to, I've met Kane here and there at conventions, but the first real interaction was on the set of Death House. And you have a great year, this end of this year and the beginning of next year is going to be awesome for you. You have so many cool projects coming out besides Death House and your documentary. The documentary is called The Killer and I, right?
No, the documentary is called To Hell and Back.
Oh, To Hell and Back. Okay. Right. Killer and I is the other thing that you did with author Mike. And then you said that you have a comedy that you're in that you just went to the premiere of. What's that all about?
I did. It's called An Accidental Zombie Named Ted. And I play a guy who's the boss of a factory that makes useful items out of discarded human skin. So we have workers that get skin from morgues and spas and, you know, hospitals, and then we make products out of it. And I'm very proud of that as nice. My character. And it was a fun movie, and it's really quite good. We saw the premiere of it, and the performances are really, really good. Naomi Grossman is in it, and, you know, not too many horror people, but a lot of talented actors, and I'm very happy with the outcome.
Yeah, that's awesome, and it's good to see you do other things besides horror. You know, like, it's one thing when you're, you know, Jason or even Victor Crowley, you could step out and do like more dramatic stuff. I'm still in the process of reading the book, so I know that that's something you're very proud of, is being able to do that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Any actor will tell you they like the challenge of something different.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm known for doing a certain kind of character, but it's nice when a director has the confidence in me to do something totally different. Adam Green has always done that for me. And now this director, Ann Wells, did the same thing. She put me in a very comedic role, and it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And plus, you know, in the last year, the video game came out as well, which I know is a big deal for a lot of the people, especially people on this show. Like, it's a great game. So
I'm extremely happy with it. And, you know, you guys know I started doing the motion capture for the game in January of 2016. That was our first week of motion capture. and the game came out this year, May 26th. And we've done three or four more sessions of motion capture since the game was released. Mm-hmm. So that's how much more content is yet to come in the game. Different skins and different kills and different characters that you may have seen in other, in previous movies and stuff. So it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Well, also, mm-hmm. it's a newer company too. And for them to handle the launch, I mean, there was a couple of hiccups, but nothing like some of these larger companies when you have a launch and servers are down for days. This year, I was able to play day one, and it's just absolutely a lovely game. You did an amazing
job. Yeah, there were.
Took me about like 2 weeks to, but yeah. I finally did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's awesome, and I'm excited to see, you know, the comedy as well, because that'll be interesting. Because people that have met you at conventions, you're a funny guy, so it's almost natural, you know?
I think I am, anyway.
Oh, you are. You are.
Maybe people laugh, you know, condescendingly. Oh, yeah, that's really funny just because they don't want me to fuck with them, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, I know, got a picture.
I checked out the trailer before the show. It actually does look pretty good. Nice. Like, I'm actually excited about seeing that, actually. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Leo?
I got a picture of when you photobombed Deadly Grounds, and the face you're giving in the background. I got it on screen right now. It's hilarious. It's awesome.
Oh, can I see it or no?
Well, it's on the live stream. I can send it to you afterwards.
Yeah, they were just taking a picture of their booth, and you just like popped your head up like behind their casket, and they were like super excited about it. Yeah. So, and I don't blame them. But I know Wolfie's got a ton of stuff for you. So, Wolfie,
well, before,
oh, sorry.
Just saying, because on Facebook, the stream, the comments are just flying by. Jay Green said he wanted to say hi to Kane.
Jay Green, J-A-E?
Yeah, Jay from
Death
House. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to say hi, and right now that I can't even see it. The comments are just coming by very quickly. Melissa Potter, Nancy Mendez, Dave Schneider, so many... Oh. Massimilio, Milio Cerchi's in the comments.
Nice.
They're flying by, so wow. We got a lot of people watching.
Yeah, Jay's a really good guy, and I remember we talked to him on set as well, and he was super excited to be working with you because of your stunt background. You know,
right.
you're a legend in his eyes, so it's awesome. And I mean, you've seen Death House. Was the first time you saw it, was that at the convention?
No, I had seen it before, but I hadn't seen it with an audience until then.
Yeah.
So it was interesting because, you know, what I like about the movie is that it's not simple-minded.
Right.
It takes some concentration and some paying attention to the storyline to figure out what's going on. And I like the fact that Harrison doesn't consider horror audiences as stupid. A lot of people do. And he gives them credit for being able to follow this kind of complicated tale, I think. And I think that the horror audiences are really liking that challenge and, you know, because it takes some work to keep up with the whole thing realize what's going on.
It's a thinker, and it's something that you're going to want to see more than once, for sure.
I think so. I agree.
But one of the, you know, there's some great kills in there. So it's a thinker. It's a good story, but there's also some really cool gore peppered in there as well.
And I think the two lead actors are really good in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's got one of my new favorite kills is in that movie with R.A. That kill is phenomenal in that movie.
Yeah. Speaking of R.A., we talked to him about ghost hunting. We had him on our show a couple weeks ago. And somebody posed a question, you know, why don't you guys, with Ghost Hunters off the air, why don't you guys try to get your own ghost hunting show started, like a celebrity Ghost Hunters? I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, I mean, we have discussed it with certain people, and it just, for me personally, it has to be the right thing. I am a believer that this stuff could exist, but I'm also skeptical about a lot of the stuff I see. Mm-hmm. So I always say I'm an open-minded skeptic. I believe that maybe that's there, but boy, man, it's got to be convincing.
Yep. Right.
Incontrovertible for me to get excited about it. Right. If there's another possible explanation for something happening, I'm not going to get so fired up about it.
Yeah. I was part of a team for a long time, and we were the same way. Like, if anyone could give any explanation to what it may be, then we can't even consider that evidence at all.
Like, right. It could be an interesting story, possibly, but
yeah,
certainly people exaggerate and sometimes even subconsciously exaggerate, make something more than it really is just because they're excited.
Yeah.
And they want to have a story. So they'll make more out of it than it really was. And you got to really be careful about that.
Yeah. One of the things I brought up, I'm going to throw it over to Wolfie in a second, but one of the things I brought up to RA when we had him on a couple weeks ago too, is if you guys are at conventions together, how cool would it be to have like a package as part of the convention to go and do like an investigation with you guys? Like I would be all over that.
Oh yeah.
I would be more than happy to give my money. And that, like, yeah. Even if it went to like a charity or something or whatever it went to, I'd be right. I'd be down to that. Like I would be just to have the experience. It would be cool as hell.
I think it would be. And a perfect example, even though it's an unrelated subject, was that Adam Green and I showed the new Victor Crowley movie in New Orleans on Halloween night. And then we went out on a swamp tour with 50 people that were interested in doing that. And we went out on a boat and we toured the swamp and just talked about stories about filming the movies and stuff like that. And that went over huge. So I think you're right. People would be very excited to go to a known haunted location with a couple of us, knowing that we're into that too, and just see what happens. I mean, when I was in Louisville for the convention, I took a drive over to Waverly because I know, you know, the owners, Tina and stuff. And so I just stopped in to say hello, and they were just sending a group through. So I kind of briefly talked with them and stuff, but it was fun just to go back to Waverly just to say hello, you know?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that'd be cool. Like, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm into it. So if it ever comes to be and I'm at a convention that you guys are at, I'll be on that list.
All right. Sounds good.
Hook it up. Sorry, Leo.
Before you throw it over to Wolfie, just real quick, yeah. Jason McFiggin says the ornament is out. He apologizes. So it's been upgraded to the Kane Hodder T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
From Terror Threads. And also just a reminder for our sponsors tonight, 3D Mucky Chris, we're giving away a 4-inch figure, and one of just any 4-inch figure. So go to muckychris.com. And also Deadly Grounds. I absolutely love Deadly Grounds. So they're giving away a gift box. So that comes with one bag of coffee, a Deadly Grounds cadaver T-shirt, and a size either small to 3XL, and then a cadaver mug. And real quick, here's the commercial for Deadly Grounds.
Everyone seconds. Thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know.
Then we're going back to Wolfie.
Yeah, but they're wrong.
We're
right into Wolfie.
There's only one dude that gets anything. My seal of approval. Deadly Grounds.
We're going right inside Wolfie.
Yeah. The aroma we're going to go in and we're going to pull that hair from the
brings
inside.
All of my neighbors out.
Deep inside Wolfie.
Deadly Grounds coffee.
I'm trying to read the comments and they're just flying past.
It's good to get all your own shit. Deep inside Wolfie.
Definitely get.
That's a good title.
Use the front door.
Definitely get the Max comment.
They're so disgusting.
Oh yeah.
Everyone thinks wants because you're a zombie, you don't know good cop.
Okay. Okay, Wolfie.
It's on you. Deep it's inside of Wolfie. Let's go.
Deep inside, yeah, okay. Kane, the one thing I want to talk to you about is the thing that I've always found interesting in the movie making, that's the stunt work that you do.
Right.
And when I was young, I wanted to be a stuntman. But there were no schools up in Washington to, you know, learn this stuff. I always found the high fall to be the one thing I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, but how did you, I mean, well, were you an aspiring actor that turned into a stuntman, or were you a stuntman that became an aspiring actor?
That's exactly what it was. I was a geography major in college who suddenly got the idea to become a stuntman. And there weren't any stunt schools where I was either. But you can't use that as an excuse. I moved to L.A. where there was a stunt school and found my way into the school and started training. And what we did learn was how to fight for a camera, because it's totally different.
Right.
And how to do high falls. And I always loved doing the high falls also. Because I'm a little bigger than the normal stunt guy. So you don't often see the guys that are my size doing high falls. It's usually the little guys. But so I loved that. It's hard to explain, but when you do a high fall, there's an instant moment where you no longer feel gravity of standing on something, but you're not yet falling. There's okay. just a split second where there's weightlessness before the sensation of falling and where you're not, you know, grounded on anything. And I always loved that, just that quick moment before the falling starts. It's a weird thing to say, but so I went into stunts and I thought that's all I would ever do. If I was lucky enough to have a successful stunt career, I was going to be happy. And then I started playing characters with a line here and there before I got my ass beaten in a movie or something. And I kind of enjoyed that too. So after the first 20 years of doing stunts, and I started doing more and more acting, and then, you know, gradually went into acting full time. I mean, most of the first acting parts I had were stunt related, but, you know, it was pretty cool.
Well, you still, I mean, on some of the movies you're on nowadays, you still stunt coordinate, don't you?
Yeah, as much as I can, because if I'm playing like the main character, like in a Hatchet movie, I want to be in control of how the stunts are done. And because so often I'm involved in the stunt itself, even if the other person is doing it, my character is motivating it. So I like to be the stunt coordinator whenever I can in that case.
So was there anybody that you looked up to as a stuntman before you got into it, like Buddy Joe Hooker or the Hooker Boys?
Yeah, Buddy Joe was, you know, pretty well known when I started. And oddly enough, I was in stunt school. There was only like 12 of us in the school in 1975. And one of the other guys in the school was Tom Morga.
Oh, wow.
Who played Jason in part 5.
Yeah.
So it's kind of odd that in such a small group of people, 1975, two of us went on to play the same character, which I always found that amazing. And I worked with Tom over the years on a lot of TV stuff.
Well, wasn't Richard Booker that played Jason in part 3 also a stuntman at one time?
No. Booker was, he never was a legitimate stunt guy. He did some action type things, but the only people that were bona fide stunt people that played Jason are Steve Dash in, you know, part 2.
Part 2, yeah.
Ed White, of course. He was like a legend part 4.
And met him at Crypticon, greatest guy to talk to. He's worked with John Wayne, nicest guy ever.
Yeah, he is one of the legends within the stunt business that I still look up to. And then, you know, Tom Morgan, myself, CJ wasn't really a stunt guy either. And neither
is. No, he was a stand-up. He was a stand-up magician that they found in a club.
Yeah, I don't. He was a Chippendales dancer. He's got all kinds of backstory.
Yeah.
But and then Kurzinger's a legitimate stunt guy too. But right. Derek was just kind of a physical actor.
Okay. I was telling you before we went on that I'm almost done with the book. I was trying to finish it before. We came on live, but I'm very close. So how much is the documentary that's coming out? Is it pretty much the same stuff? Is it just a documentary based off the book?
It is, because it still talks about all that stuff in my life, but because it's visual, we were able to go to the burn unit that saved my life.
Oh, wow.
Talk to the doctor who was in charge of my care.
Wow.
We went to, I don't know if you remember the story in Hawaii when I was there with my basketball team in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that thing on the balcony.
On the balcony, yeah.
We went to that exact balcony.
Oh, wow.
And it was weird. And it was very hard for me not to recreate that.
Oh, geez.
And I really had to battle myself saying, no, you did it once. You got away with it. Don't be known as the fucking guy that tried to do that thing again and died doing it.
Yeah.
So I really wrestled with my own conscience to not do it again. I sat up on the rail.
Yeah.
But I didn't go on the other side and do the whole thing I did before. So
now, was that like 35 stories up? Was it 35 stories up?
Yep.
Wow. Nice.
35th floor.
Nice. So when any idea of when there's going to be like a wider release of the documentary? Because I'd love to see it. Because right now is it only at film festivals and stuff?
Yeah, but the release is imminent. I was told who is going to be distributing it, and I was very happy when I heard that. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say yet, okay. So I don't want to. But
yeah,
it'll be widely available soon.
Awesome.
So we should get to a couple of the questions. A ton of people watching, and I'm sorry if we don't get to all of your questions. What I'll do is I'll make sure I get all the questions to Kane after broadcast if you have a chance to answer the ones that we can't. I know Max would love to get you for one of his next movies. Max, he just got the opportunity to do Stephen King.
Mayday.
Yeah.
He just
posted today that he got the thumbs up to do a Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And who is this?
Max.
His name is Max. Go ahead.
Max Sirchi.
Max Sirchi. We've had him on our show a bunch of times. He produces a ton of movies. He does a lot of stuff for Amazon. What I'll do is, if you're interested, I'll get you his information.
Just tell him to contact Judy Fox.
Okay. Will do.
Okay.
And
she's my manager, and you know, that would be fun to do something.
Well, yeah. Josh from Massachusetts Ghost Hunters is saying, Kane, do you have any props from any of the movies that you've done? And if so, what is your favorite?
I kept a lot of props from a lot of the movies. I kept, you know, from the Friday movies, I kept all my masks. I kept machetes. I kept other weapons. I even kept the Freddy glove that I wore in Jason Goes to Hell, because that was made by the guy that made the Freddy gloves for the Nightmare movies. So I kept that. I kept as much as I possibly could. Screen used hatchets from all the Hatchet movies. I realized even back then how valuable stuff was, and it wasn't hard to keep it at the time. As the movies went on, it was more and more difficult to keep what I wanted to, but I still did.
Well, what about the cast or the head split from Hatchet where you tear the jaw and just.
Yeah, I wanted to keep it, but I believe
that. Actually, there's a photo online of, I don't know if it was like some haunted attraction or whatever, bought the the dummy head that was used for RA in Death House.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh,
the face. Oh, and yeah. There's a picture of him with it, like at some place. And I'm just like, they reached out and bought that. Like, I didn't even, if that was for sale, I would have. So before we'd seen the whole movie, Harrison had showed us the prison riot, like
right.
at Scarecon, New York. Like while we're at our booth, he's like, "Hey, watch this," and he just played it, and like I legit was having dreams about it that night. Like, I was like, it was brutal, and it was good to see. Like we'd seen it before Scarecon New England as well, but it was good to see it on a bigger screen. And I can't wait for it to hit the actual theater because I'm going to be like, it's going to be a field trip, and it's going to bring a bunch of people.
And there are so many good performances in the film.
Yeah.
That I can't even name them all, but I have a personal favorite performance that it's not a big performance, but I can't even say this very often, but this guy's performance creeps me out in the movie. Really? And it's Sean Whalen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I kind of figured we were going to go there. He's such a great actor.
Yeah, he really is. And you know, it was great to have him in one of the Hatchet movies and stuff, but what he does in this movie with a little it's not really a cameo, but it's not a major role, but what he does with it shows you how talented he is. When you can take a character that's could be forgettable in a way and make it not forgettable, that's amazing. I just love the way he delivers his lines.
Yeah, that scene in general I think is great with the three Satans or whatever they are. And Bill Oberst Jr. is one of the other guys, and I'm a huge Bill Oberst fan. And
all three of them are great.
Oh yeah, I don't really know the other guy so much, but yeah, the whole scene itself I thought was awesome. But I mean, we told RA this, and every time I talk to anyone about it, I say that it's probably my favorite, like actual speaking role that I've seen you play.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, the towards like right at the end of the movie, like I start to feel choked up for you. You know what I mean? Like it was great, and I'm super psyched to see that kind of stuff coming from you because it's. You know, I like to see people do different things. Like I said, like I was lucky enough to go see Tony Todd in a play. He invited me down to see him in a play in Connecticut. And it was like so different than watching him in a movie, you know?
Right.
And it was just so powerful. And, you know, that's why I'm super excited for the comedy and everything. And, you know, just congratulations. And, you know, we're big fans, so we're happy for you, you know?
Well, thank you. I loved the scene where I'm really not a very nice guy in Death House. But then you almost feel sympathy for me at the end because I feel like I've been betrayed. And, you know, it's kind of like that in that zombie movie, too. Even though my character is mostly comical, I did an emotional thing at the end of that movie that people really responded to also. And it because it's a comedy, but it kind of takes a turn at the end, and the scene that I did really works in that aspect of the story. So pretty cool.
Nice.
Definitely going to have to check this movie out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I just want to butt in real quick. Want to remind everybody that we do have some prizes we're going to be giving away at the end of the show. One of them is going to be from Terror Threads and Jason. Jason, out of his own money, he's the social media guy for Death House. He's buying a T-shirt from Terror Threads to give away tonight. And he asked me to play this video. It's a short one, 30 seconds. Here we go. And when we come back, we'll take a couple questions from the chat.
By like 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's one thing about Paris. The question is like literally fade away after a couple of seconds.
Leo?
No.
Gonna ask a question. I told her come on the show and ask the question in the chat room. We'll ask it. It was about was all taking a piss at the, was it Rolling Hills?
Taking a piss?
Yeah. Well, you guys were ghost hunting, and it was in the book. It was not the main book, the other book, I guess.
Oh, right.
Was it Rolling Hills?
Yeah, it was.
Because she was part of that group that was there. So she's like, I remember when that happened. It was crazy.
I'm not right in that.
She's like, ask him if he's come across any other piss ghosts.
Well, on that note, we are back.
Sorry, piss ghosts. I brought it up.
Yeah. All right. So I apologize if we don't get to your question. Just make sure you get it to me, and we'll get it to Kane afterwards. A ton of people watching. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And Kane, it's just awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Tony, did you have a couple questions from the chat room?
The ones that I can actually see. Galeo Humpkins, hopefully I said that right, he said, what was it like working with Harrison Smith?
It was a pleasure. I mean, you know, it's hard to answer a question like that because if it was shitty to work with somebody, you're probably not going to say that. But knowing me, I would make it apparent that I didn't fucking like it in some way. But Harrison was just a pleasure because, first of all, he knew his script inside and out. So if I had a question related to my character that I wasn't sure about, that in a certain direction I might go or something, I could ask him and he'd immediately have an idea of what should be done. And when you have a director who's also the writer, which is great when they're directing their own written material, when you have that, and someone that's so prepared, it's such a pleasure to work with somebody like that. And it was just exactly that, a pure pleasure, because I could run things by him character-wise and get his opinion. And, you know, I always say it, when you have a secure director who's secure in their own abilities, they will listen to your ideas and at least entertain the thought. And they may say, well, it probably doesn't work because of this, or yeah, that'd be great. Then, you know, it just makes it a really nice working atmosphere.
Yeah, we're big fans of Harrison as well. He's a very smart guy and his heart is in the right spot.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, I'm psyched.
I got a question for myself. Going from Jason, who is, you know, an iconic figure, to now, you know, Victor Crowley, who's, you know, as indie grows, Victor Crowley's becoming the next Jason. How does it feel to be portraying two iconic characters on the screen?
Well, I mean, if I tried to say it wasn't amazing, I would be lying. It's incredible to, first of all, play. You know, you have to realize that I was a horror fan before I ever was in the position of playing Jason. So I had watched all the movies. And just imagine yourself as a horror fan. Now suddenly you're in the position of playing that exact character that you've enjoyed over the course of, you know, 7 years.
Yeah.
And now you're suddenly that person playing that character. It is an indescribable feeling of pride, I guess, that someone has the confidence in you to play that character. So to do that the first time and then to be asked back for the next three movies was a huge honor. And then once I was replaced and, you know, then given another opportunity by Adam Green to play a character who he said at the time he was confident this would be another iconic character. And I, you know, I've heard that before from a lot of people, but it was different coming from him. I knew he had something special. So to be given another chance to play an iconic character, man, I've been pretty lucky.
Melissa Patterson.
Technically, you've also betrayed, you know, Freddy's glove in one movie as well, and also in your book, you brought up that you were RA's stunt double in TCM 3.
Right.
So you actually portrayed a couple. Well, did
several as Leatherface, yes. Yeah. And that's awesome. I think that's in the documentary now, a picture of me.
Oh, nice.
Or was that in the book, too?
It's in the book, yeah. It's in the book. Yeah.
Standing there with the mask off, but in all of the other Leatherface stuff. So that's when R.A. had hair. That was his real hair.
Oh, wow.
I had to wear a wig.
So I got to get this documentary when it comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Read the book. Read the book. Oh, Leo's been trying to say
something. Yeah, yeah. Melissa Patterson's asking, speaking of Victor, who do you think would win between the two, Jason or Victor Crowley?
Jason.
I personally think,
of course, it would be a tremendous battle, but I give a very slight edge to Victor because he's a little less predictable.
Might be a little less predictable, but at the time that you took over, Jason was a zombie. So it's a little bit harder to kill him, you know? And Jason is...
But Victor's
a little more man. I was thinking he's a little more maniacal. A little bit. He's not just off kilter. He's way off kilter as compared to Victor Crowley, who seems to be a little more... He might not look the part, but he's a little bit smarter than Jason. But I'm just saying Jason's a little bit more maniacal.
Doesn't look smart?
No, I'm saying Victor is smart.
He's got that stone face. You can never tell.
He never knows what it's Peter, so... Jason is a zombie who can't be killed. Victor can be killed, but he comes right back because he's a repeater. So, man, that's a tough situation to make a winner there. But
I don't know. I like how Jason's a lot slower. Victor is like he's just I don't know. He's more intense, I think. So I think he's just more brutal. I think he's more brutal.
And I don't know if you've really noticed, and if anyone ever noticed, but I purposely, with the Victor character in the first movie, I made him very twitchy and like he wasn't used to doing this yet when it came to killing people. And over the course of the four films, I consciously, for me, made Victor become a little more comfortable with killing people as he went on, because the first three movies took place over one weekend in time. And then Victor Crowley is 10 years later. So over the first three movies, as he was killing people, I tried to make Victor become a little more comfortable with the whole process. And maybe that's just a technique for me with the performance, but I don't know if it really was evident to people. But it's kind of like, I don't know if you saw the movie BTK that I did, where I played Dennis Rader as a real killer. It's one thing to play a killer that is fictional, but now you play a guy that existed. That's pretty weird. And from all the stories that I read about Dennis Rader, he wasn't really the slick, perfect killer that some people think he was. He kind of screwed up a lot. He would think somebody's dead and they'd come back to consciousness and it would surprise him and stuff. So when I played him, I did some character things that I thought made him look a little... using one of your terms, dorky, because he wasn't perfect in his killing. So I did some character things within the film and people, you know, maybe didn't even pick up on it, but to make him look a little dorky.
So kind of going back.
Anyway, that's how I approached this stuff.
Nice. Going back to Victor Crowley a bit. How hard is it to keep that secret?
How hard is it to what?
To keep that secret that the movie was made or being made when people were constantly asking you about it at conventions and, you know, saying, you know, bringing up, like, I can't imagine the pressure.
I mean, it wasn't really that difficult because it was too important to keep it secret. I was just amazed that, you know, not only the cast, that's one thing. The cast has a reason to keep it secret, to make it more successful when it's announced. But for the crew to keep it secret was astounding to me, that members of the crew didn't say anything. And I was really happy that that was the case. And it was difficult when people would ask me, so how come we haven't had another, you know, Hatchet movie? It's like, well, keep your fingers crossed. You never know, you know. And that's why it was so fun that night in Hollywood when Adam announced what it really was.
I would have loved to
have
had
the internet just about burned down that night. Because I know everybody was losing their shit over that stuff.
Yeah.
And I know Brian Quinn brought up that he did a movie, but he wasn't being specific. And then I kind of
He was saying he had done a movie.
He said that he was filming something, but he didn't say what it was or who it was with.
I don't even think he told people close to him that he had done it, just to be safe.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
weird, like around the time that Brian Quinn had said that on his podcast, was the time that he was on Adam's podcast. So I was like, in my head, we're making the deal or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I was so excited when Adam told me he was going to be in it, because I'm a big fan of their show. And that's why Adam and I went on their cruise that left New Orleans on November 1st. Went on the Impractical Jokers cruise, and it was amazing.
Nice.
They could fill an entire cruise ship with fans of theirs. That's incredible.
Yeah. We interviewed some of the guys from Comic Book Men one time, and Brian was hanging out in the corner, and I was like, it's freaking Brian Quinn from Impractical Jokers. This is crazy. Like,
yeah.
We were there for Comic Book Men, and I was just kind of like, oh, I felt kind of bad because I'm like, holy shit. Like, he's just hanging out in the corner making bad jokes. It was good. It was awesome.
So, Kane, I know that this is probably a question you get quite a bit, but I'm going to ask it anyways. On the Friday the 13th films you worked on, what was your favorite kill?
Did we lose his mic?
Sleeping bag.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But isn't that also the one that John Carl Beckler made you work a little bit harder on? Didn't he, like, weren't you like swinging away with that thing forever before he called cut?
Yeah. I hit it like the tree 7 times with that fucking thing. And I was losing my balance and I didn't have good grip. And it was a 90 pound dummy in the sleeping bag. And I'm wearing prosthetic gloves on my hands. I can't grip the motherfucker, and I'm getting frustrated and slamming it and losing my balance. And I think I just threw it down and I said, cut. And then, you know, he ends up using the one take, the one hit. So,
is that your favorite kill, like in all of your kills in general, or just through the Friday the 13th? Do you have any favorites, like with hatchets or
that? That is my favorite Jason kill. As I always say, it's killing someone with something that's not a weapon.
Yeah.
I like that. And then the Mrs. Primadio head in Hatchet is my all-time favorite kill.
Yeah.
That was the one scene that got me. I didn't know what Hatchet was a couple years ago, and they have a YouTube clip of, like, the greatest kills ever. And that was there, and I was like, what movie is this from? It's ridiculous. And then I found out, and now I own all of them. So
yeah, it was that was definitely deal. We had one prosthetic head, and Adam said, the camera is going to move in a 360 round, so please make sure the camera's on you before you rip the head apart. And sure enough, it worked out perfectly, and you don't see where the edit is from me catching the actress till it cuts to the prosthetic head. You never see where the edit is, which it makes it so effective.
And then you worked with Adam on Frozen.
Yeah, I think that was a really cool film. And I just, you know, I did the stunts on it and played a character briefly just for fun. But that was amazing that those actors were up in that chair.
Yeah.
And this is all on a real mountain. And they were up in that chair for 6 hours at a time, never coming back down. And that's pretty amazing for actors to not bitch and moan about, I have to take a piss and all that, you know, and it's freezing cold. And it was, you know, on a mountain in Utah in February or something. So it was extremely cold, and they just, you know, were amazing to be able to go through that. There it is right there. Yeah. Mm.
It really is one of my favorite movies because it's horror, but it's horror very simplified.
Right.
There is no monster. The monster is the elements.
Right. And it's not an unheard of premise because I asked the guy that operated the lift that we were shooting at. I said, is this ridiculous? Could this ever possibly happen? He says it has happened, where people have been stuck on a lift for hours, maybe not as long as it was in the movie, but that does happen. So it's not like a ridiculous premise, which I think made it more effective.
Maybe not forgotten, but maybe the mechanicals of it like broke down or something and they get stuck. So
you see people get stuck on roller coasters for hours too. And there's people crying the whole time.
Oh yeah.
That's terrifying too. But
upside down.
Yeah. And you also worked with Adam on Chillerama.
Yeah.
I love that whole thing.
I'm not much of a dancer, but if you ever go to Aeriscope, you've never been to the office, right?
I wish. One of these days. That'd be awesome.
If you ever go there, in the office, there's a full-size Victor Crowley and a full-size Meshuggah, which was my character in Chillerama. And I'm telling you, the Chillerama Meshuggah character looks so creepy because the eyes are closed and you swear their eyes are going to open any second. And Adam always worries that one day I'm going to dress up in there and stand where that thing is and scare the shit out of him.
You totally
should.
I should. Like reading your book, you've done similar things like that throughout your career. Which
certainly have, yes. Yeah.
But what you should do is dress up as the character like for like 5 days straight. Don't do anything for like the first 4 days.
Oh, that's dedication to
all
a prank.
Right all there. For a joke. Yeah. All for a joke.
All for a joke, yeah. Well, you told us what some of the things you did were.
Yeah. So is there anything else in the chat room, Tony?
Let me see. Well, Mike Silk said Victor versus Jason, who would win? Melissa Potter was saying Chillerama was hysterical. Matt Hart said he has BTK and Ed Gein. And everything else we pretty much went over.
Ed Gein was an interesting movie.
Yeah, that was when Mike Pfeiffer approached me about that movie. He said, I'm going to do a movie about Ed Gein and I want you to be in it. I said, oh, good. What kind of character? He said, I want you to play Ed. I was like, Ed? He was a little guy.
Yeah, he's like 5'6", 140 pounds.
Right, and I'm not quite that size. So I was amazed that he wanted me to do it. And he said, well, you know, it's not a definite take on his story. And, you know, if you don't really see me next to anyone else, you don't really see the size difference that, you know, it's when you see somebody that's a larger person next to a small person, then you see it. But if all the scenes are just me or the other characters, then you don't really notice it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a couple of scenes with another classic iconic character actor, Michael Berryman.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine. And it was fun doing that with him. And it's just ironic that Ed Gein would kill his one and only friend.
Mm.
You know? Yeah.
And Michael's a great guy. We just had him on recently too. Like he's a, meeting him in we met him in person once, but he was he's just such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yep.
We're at right around the hour mark. I know that Kane's got his you know throat thing.
Yeah, probably gonna have to go shortly. So
we don't want to keep it too long.
Exactly. We want to make sure that you check out Death House coming out January 19th. And we absolutely loved it. We know you're going to love it as well. And Kane is just amazing in the movie. And I know Harrison hates me using that word, but it is absolutely amazing. We loved it.
Obviously, check out the video game as well. If you see the documentary playing any film festival in your area, I'm jealous. Let me know how you like it, and then fly me out there so I can see it. And then I don't know. I mean, what's the name of the comedy that you have coming out?
An Accidental Zombie Named Ted.
All right, nice. You gotta look out for that. I'm gonna have to write that down so I don't forget.
And also, Accidental. Make sure you check out our sponsors for tonight for the prizes. We got four prizes we're giving away. So Deadly Grounds, deadlygroundscoffee.com. You can also find them on Deadly Grounds on social media as well. 3D Mucky Chris, muckychris.com. He's giving away a 4-inch figure. I got Jason Voorhees on the screen right now along with the Hulk. And so we're giving one of those away as well. Also a t-shirt from Terra Threads, thanks to the Death House social media department. And also let me switch to the camera here, a signed poster of Death House, signed by Kane Hodder. So those are the four prizes. And anything else we need to go over?
I also forgot to bring up Victor Crowley. We want to make sure that you go see Victor Crowley.
Yes.
Hopefully that's in the theater too, because I love seeing those kind of movies on the screen.
Yeah, and from what the fans have told me, so many people are telling me it's their favorite Hatchet movie of all.
Really?
So that's pretty good when you can get the fans to like the fourth installment of something the best.
Mm.
And I guess we did something right, and it is brutal. And I love the fact that Adam let Victor have some close-ups this time, and you see Victor thinking, and it's amazing some of the shots of Victor that make me think, wow, that really shows what this guy is going through. So
nice. I can say I haven't been let down by any of the Hatchet movies. I've liked them all, so
I'm with you. Yeah.
So definitely the fourth one.
I loved all three of them. I'm looking forward to seeing the new one, you know. And I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan also. So
I'd like to come back one more time with that hockey mask on.
They should start.
You know, with the way things are going, I don't know if it'll ever happen, man. They keep on mucking things up big time. So
I know.
Well, we brought up the question.
One more movie, because it would be the 13th. So
13th movie, yeah.
Well, we asked the question: Victor versus Jason, who would win? You know, you had Freddy versus Jason. Why not Victor versus Jason?
Yeah. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of screen time, and that
my God, that's like
trying to make.
Yeah. Kane doing like motion capture on both sides, playing Victor and Jason. Yeah. You know,
right.
Yeah.
If it's not done right, it's going to look like one of those bad sitcoms from like the 60s with the identical cousin.
I Spy with Robert Culp and Bill Cosby. Yeah.
So for the prizes tonight, I put everybody's name in random.org and ran it 3 times without looking. So the 4 winners tonight, and I'll contact all of you individually to figure out who's getting what. But Heather Highlander, Matt Hart, Scott Ingrati, and Robert Alvarez are the winners tonight. So, nice. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, So
check out the show notes down below or up above. So if you didn't win, Mucky Chris, awesome stuff. Get yourself like a Yoda.
I have a 3D printed Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So, he's got good stuff.
Yeah, and the Jason's awesome with the removable machete.
Machete, yeah.
Yeah, very cool stuff. And Deadly Grounds coffee. I mean, I drink 10 cups a day.
That's disgusting.
I think that's unhealthy.
That's with heavy whipping cream too every time.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kane, you're not a coffee drinker, right?
No, but I love the name of that product.
Yeah. There's a quality.
How perfect is that?
Right.
I don't drink much coffee. I drink unfortunately, Red Bull and Zions.
Yeah.
Two drinks because I've never been a huge coffee guy, but
they're I am a coffee guy, and they're a quality product. I'm not just blowing smoke. The last convention we were at that they were at, Leo spent $100 on coffee.
Wow.
I spent $60 on coffee, but $100 on Friday of a 3-day weekend, he spent $100 on coffee. Anyways.
Yeah, and
they're good quality.
It must be nice to be rich.
No. That lasted me actually. What?
2 days. That lasted him a weekend.
Three months, and I'm due for a reorder. So.
Yeah.
So.
All right, boys. Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Is there anywhere?
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Is there anywhere that people can follow you on social media that you prefer, like as far as Instagram or Twitter or anything like that?
I mean, Twitter is Kane Hodder 1. Very clever, I know. And and you can always find out information on thescarletabbey.com or KaneHodderKills.com.
Okay.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll see you at the next convention. And
you're always welcome back, man.
Yeah, whenever.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Have a good night.
Feel better.
Bye.
Bye.
Get better.
Okay, so a small issue. My broadcast software is going haywire. It just started just a couple seconds ago. So we're probably still streaming, probably still recording. So I got to wait for it to...
Just probably, though.
Yeah, probably. So
just probably.
Do we want to see if we're still streaming? Yeah, we are.
It says live.
Okay.
So anyways, we should wrap it up then if we're having problems.
Yeah, but the thing is, I can't shut it off. Okay, so if everybody's still watching, the winners again, Heather Highlander, Matt Hart, Scott Ingrati, and Robert Alvarez. If you're still watching and still listening, email me, leo@leopond.com, and I'll figure out. So it's in that order, and we'll figure out. I'll give Heather Highlander the first dibs of what she wants. And then Matt Hart will have the choice of the 3 remaining. We'll go down the list.
Leo was trying to say something, but his mic was off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just realized, why is everybody ignoring me? I'm like, oh, crap, my mic's off. Because I wanted to bring up Haunting of LSD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too.
I was going to bring that up, and I'm like, why is everybody ignoring me?
Your mic was off. Congratulations, Joey.
I totally forgot that I muted it for a moment. Oh, God.
Anyways.
Okay.
Thought was there.
I am going to – it hasn't responded, so I am probably going to cancel the software, which will probably end the broadcast.
Well, bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you all for watching.
See ya.
Congratulations to the winners. I'm not one of them.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.